And as you were mighty then, you're still mighty now. You have never changed. We worship you. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves, fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind in its present condition, to receive, to deliver, as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into human words. Therefore, we need your help to unravel this, to bring out not just the letter, but the spirit of this word. Your very mind and your thoughts will be transmitted through the words that we speak. So we ask for fresh anointing and unction from heaven to enable me to speak as I should, as an oracle of God, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people. We further pray that you put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, so that an internal and eternal work will be done in our minds, in our wills, in our emotions. Wills being more humble, minds being more enlightened, emotions being controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray and ask that as this word goes forth, the power of the Spirit of God will be released to follow the words, to back them wherever they are heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, that will free men so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery, that I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing in their individual life, received the blessing and said, amen. Amen. We thank God for his wonderful presence in our midst. And we continue with that unction and anointing that is already in the air. And I've come to share a very important truth with us today. I believe with all of my heart that we're on the verge of a sudden coming to the church of the glory and the power of God without measure, as it was in the ministry of Christ, and even greater, according to the scripture. During the Bible study, I spoke about a great salvation. Keep playing that. Just keep that on. And we spoke about a great salvation that has not yet been seen in the earth, because the day of its fulfillment is now upon us. God does everything he does in times and seasons, which have been prepared in a master plan even before man was created. The plan has been hidden in what we call types and shadows in the Old Testament. I shared with us last week about personal fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. And just as surely as the Feast of Passover was fulfilled and the Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled, we're experiencing them today. Surely the Feast of Tabernacles will also be fulfilled in the individual perfection of the love of God in our lives, and the consequent manifestation of the Spirit without measure that we draw in the harvest. We touched again on this morning during the Bible study. See, if I be lifted up, is a certainty. There is no way the life of God can be made manifest in our mortal flesh, in a sufficient number of us, that the entire world will not be drawn to the church, fulfilling Isaiah 2, which says, in the last days, you see, it's all in times and seasons. It wasn't in Isaiah's time. It wasn't even in Jesus' time. It is now. The mountain of the house of the Lord will be exalted above all hills. What's going to exalt it? This glory, this life being made manifest. The word manifest means everybody can see it. You know, we already have the presence of God. If you're walking with God, if you're a dedicated believer, you will live with the presence of God daily. You will have His presence. He will talk to your heart. He will manifest. You will even feel Him in your... I still feel it even now. We're just worshiping. I can feel the presence of God like electricity in the air. I've been feeling this for years. When I pray and there's a strong anointing, I feel it under my palms. I feel it on the palms of my feet, under my feet. But the world doesn't know that. I know it. God speaks to my heart. He does what He says in my heart, and I see it in manifestation. But to the average observer, coincidence, you're just lucky. Luck is a word you should get out of your dictionary as a Christian. There's no such thing as luck. Everything is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit. Every physical event has a spiritual origin. It was orchestrated by a outplaying of spiritual forces. Very complex in the realm of the spirit. All kinds of forces. God is there. The devil is there. Man is there. You know, the people around you are there. And when you now mix all of those forces together, whatever is prevalent or has the greatest power, you know, that's why it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Then that's what's not going to be done on the earth. There's no such thing as luck. It's an outplay of spiritual forces. And so, here we are. In that day and in that time and in that season, God went as far as... That's why I fear God. I fear God. The word fear there is not terror. It's not terror. It's not a terrifying kind of fear. It's great respect. Great reverence. The psalmist said this. He said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Those of us who are doctors, you know, the more you look at the human body and the design, the skeleton, the lungs, the heart, the blood vessels, the endocrine system, the hormones, and everything working in such harmony. It is not an exaggeration. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. That should make you afraid of the person. Respect the person who did it. God so did it. He put the signs of these things in the heavens before anything was done. Genesis chapter 1 in verse 14. He tells us, he says, and God set these things in the sun, and He set them for marking of sacred or religious festivals. I think it's like that in either the New International or the God's Word, one of the modern translations. Yes. Give this to me in God's Word, if you have it, or any of the modern translations, you know, you'll see it there. It's not just for November, December, and, you know, and Monday, Tuesday, which is there, you know, or New International, but any of the modern translations, any of the modern, thank you. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. This doesn't say it as explicitly as some of the other translations does. I think either God, if you don't have God's word or the message, I don't know what it's like in the Message Bible, look for it. The point I am making is that God does not do things haphazardly. He has a master plan, and he had set. So even before he gave the children of Israel the feasts, he had set the moon and the sun, you know, in times and seasons to commemorate those feasts, so that when the time of the feasts came, they would align with what is in the heavens, and it would become a sign to us. And we have seen all of this, particularly in the last 2-3 years. We've seen the blood moon tetrads, and here we are in the year of Jubilee. There is a truth in my heart that I would share with us as we are on this verge of this unprecedented outpouring. And I've entitled it Unity, Love, and Power. Unity, then love, and then power. And that's a sequence. You're not going to get power if you don't have love. You're not going to have love without unity. In fact, it is the outworking of unity that results in love. They're actually tied together with a short rope. The scriptures teach us of 3 levels of unity. It speaks of the unity of the faith, which every Christian has, because we all believe in Jesus Christ. He said, no other foundation can a man lay except that which is laid, you know, Jesus Christ. Believing Jesus is our Lord and Savior. I don't care whether you go to Scripture Pastor, whether you go to Redeem Winners, whether you're Catholic or Methodist or Anglican or Protestant or whatever you call yourself, it's the same. All of us have the same faith. So the unity of the faith is a done deal. Then the second level of unity the Scriptures speak about, which is the unity of the Spirit. And that's a different ball game. You know, and that's where we were having challenges. And I trust that by the time I finish, God will show us how to do what the Scripture actually says. It says endeavoring. It means effort must be put in. The unity of the Spirit, unlike the unity of faith, which is automatic, the unity of the Spirit is not automatic. You have to work. Not physical work, spiritually speaking. You have to work deliberately by faith to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond. Endeavor. The word endeavor is a strong word. It means you have to make a consistent, concerted, concentrated effort. And I want to point out something. I mentioned this in one of our messages recently. I can't remember exactly where, but I remember saying this. You know, I was talking about gathering in the Spirit. You know, this is when you are gathered together. We're going to look at that scripture again later today. You know, when 2 or 3 are gathered together. But where are we gathered? It's in the Spirit. It's not the physical gathering alone. There is a gathering at the heart level, where our spirits are knit together. They are gathered together in the Spirit. And that is why it says, here in the Amplified Bible says, be eager and strive earnestly. See, it says strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power. This is beautiful. Of peace. It paints a very graphic picture of something that is going on in the spiritual realm. Let me try and simplify it as best as I can by the help of the Holy Spirit. See, when our hearts we are all, whether we like it or not, we are all connected in the Spirit because we are all members of the body of Christ. This is my little finger. Is connected to my little toe in my... You can't see it because I'm wearing a pair of shoes. Whether they like it or not, they're connected. It has nothing to do with what they like. The same blood that flows into that toe will, within a few minutes, as the heart pumps, do you understand? Some of the same blood particles that flowed in my little toe will circulate. After a while, they will pass through here too, through a very complex system of arteries and veins. It is exactly the same in the spirit. We are already connected by virtue of the new birth. We've been baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. The word baptism there is not the baptism of water. Baptism of water is just a symbolic physical ceremony, which is good, and you have to do it because it marks your thinking, and we're commanded to do it, you know. But it marks a deeper truth of the we're baptized, we've been immersed into one body. So we are already connected. Now, even though we are connected in the spirit, even though we're already joined together in the spirit in the body, it is not automatic that that flow would take place. That's where the endeavoring is going to come in. If there are things in my heart that are against you, or things in your heart that are against me, or sin, unforgiveness, so many things, we'll look at some of them, you know, they block the flow. Once the flow is blocked, you have a breach in the spirit. So there is no longer a unity of the spirit. The unity of the spirit is effected by the unhindered flow. And mark the word unhindered. The unhindered flow of the life of God from one member to another within the body. In other words, when there is unity of the spirit as they should be, then the life that is flowing in me will, after some time, flow to you. The life that is flowing in you will, after a while, circulate back to me. And to all of us. You know the consequence of it? If it starts flowing unhindered the way it should be flowing, it will bring the same light. Because the life has light. Then it will bring the same knowledge. It will bring the same love. Then we will have the third level of unity, the unity of knowledge. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all," I didn't hear you, "speak the same thing." Is that possible? If you look at our experience in the church, we're not speaking the same thing. We are not speaking the same thing. We are not speaking the same thing. The Baptists are not saying the same thing the Pentecostals are saying. The Pentecostals are not saying the same thing the faith guys are saying. The faith guys are not saying the same thing the kingdom boys are saying. And so on and so forth. Hello? There's only one word for it. It's called Babylon. That's why it's called a Babel of voices. Because there is no unity in the spirit. So the light that is in the life that is in the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the teachers is not flowing down to the rest of the body. So they're not getting the same knowledge that the guy upstairs is getting. Because when the same life is flowing unhindered, we're going to start picking the same signals in the spirit. Now, we have experienced this to quite some degree, to the glory of God. Many, many times, it still happened last week. My wife will come and share here in church after they have a lean. I won't be there. Honey, is this true or false? I will not be there. There will be in Ijebu or somewhere praying. And I will come on Sunday and I will just say the same thing they picked. Correct or not? It hasn't happened once, it hasn't happened twice, it hasn't happened 3 times, it hasn't happened 10 times, it hasn't done 20 times, it hasn't happened 100 times. Over and over and over again. Not only that, I'm preaching here in Nigeria and the Copelands will start saying exactly the same thing in America. Oh, it's happened many times, hasn't it? Even last week. I'm preaching something here in church in Nigeria, and what they're transmitting on their website will be exactly in line. It's the same spirit. But it will only happen if the flow of the spirit is unhindered. When the flow of the spirit is hindered by pride, by unforgiveness, by strife, by human ambition, and all of that, there's a block. Once there's a block, the same life that is flowing will be hindered. It will not flow to the other part of the body, and that part of the body will not pick it. That's what's responsible for division. This is true also in husband and wife. It's true in any group of Christians. You know, the smallest unit is the home unit, the husband, the wife, the children. You know, once there are things in the heart that are not removed so that the life of God can flow, the power of the Spirit of God can flow unhindered. Mark my word, I keep repeating that word, unhindered. You see, the hindrances block the flow. Either it will not be flowing, or it will be flowing in such a small measure that what you are now hearing is a distorted form of what is inside me. So you hear about 10%, the remaining 90% is all fuzzy. Hello? And what does that lead to? Argument, jangling. For us to get this power thing, we got to get this unity thing right. Unity, love, and power. So we have the unity of the faith, we have the unity of the spirit, then we have the unity of knowledge that will come by the unhindered flow of the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit coursing its way through the body without anything hindering it. Now, I'll tell you what God's plan is. And incidentally, God has a way of making his plans come to pass. Hello, somebody. Amen. He said, the word that I speak will not return to me void. It will accomplish that which I sent it for. God is, as I speak, he's getting this job done. Amen. Now, God understands, you know, because he does not override the free will of men, he understands that some people will not flow with this plan. So what he's doing and what he has been doing and still doing is that he's bringing a company of people together who will cooperate. Then he's going to allow this unity of life, this unity of the spirit, this unity of knowledge to flow amongst them. Then it will not produce the effect of the glory and the light and the power and all of that. Then the rest of the body will see it. And then some of them, sadly not all, will say, okay, let's join them. And then the thing will start expanding. Amen? So in order to get the thing to work, God does what scientists just learned to do just a few years ago. He takes a sample. Ask anybody who does research. If you're doing anything at all, you have what you call the population. Usually you cannot work with the population. It's impractical. So what you do is you take a representative sample of the population, which will be a small number that you can manage. When you now take that sample, whatever results you get in the sample is also true of the bigger population. This is a statistical fact, but God knew statistics long before the statisticians got it. And that's what he's doing as I speak. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro the whole earth to find himself a sample. He's looking for a sample of saints who we endeavor. See, many people know the scripture, but they don't know what it means. And they don't act, they don't practice it. And who we endeavor. The word endeavor means that we put in the necessary effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond, the binding influence of the force of peace, so that the life and the power of God can flow, so that there will be a unity of knowledge and love and then power. And that's what we're about. And so, Let's move on and see a few things the Lord said to me and that I have been called to share with you. My wife has been actually picking this and talking about it with great emphasis in recent times. And when the Lord was blowing this up to me, He reminded me of one or two things. She's been talking about the importance of agreement, the importance of unity, and how when we have it, then we'll be far stronger than anything the enemy can ever do. Look at Genesis 11. It's a familiar scripture, or should be. This, I want to turn to the scripture in particular because I want you to read it yourself. I can quote it. Genesis chapter 11 verse 6. This is at the Tower of Babel. When the, you know, after man, God created man, they were misbehaving all over the whole place. But I just don't want to get off course, you know. And the Lord said, turn to your neighbor and say, who said? Ask your neighbor, who said? Say, the Lord said. And say, Wale didn't say. Pastor Gwega didn't say. Pastor Olubi didn't say. Mommy Sarah didn't say. I tell you, the Lord said. Now come on, tell them. Say, the Lord said. Say, the Lord said. Say, the Lord said. The Lord said. Therefore, we're going to take seriously what the Lord said. True or false? All right. And the Lord said, we now know who is talking. Hello, somebody. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Stop. These are godly people. These are not Christians. These are not people who are doing the will of God. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to say, if it will work for the ungodly, what do you think it will do for the godly? And the Lord said, the people is one, and they have all one language. Everybody say one language. One language. One language. One language. One language. One language. Touch your neighbor and say, what does one language mean? They always understand each other when they talk. We Yorubas are very, very... this is true of all tribes. But because I'm Yoruba, I can use a... You know, when you want to say something, you know, and you want the person to really understand what you are saying, you move from English to Yoruba. How many people know what I'm talking about? There are many things, if you say it in English, you didn't get that one, you see. You say, what I said in our language was that you can't understand. But the people who understand Yoruba know what I mean. There's a way we talk. When you say certain things in a particular way, everybody knows what you're talking about. That's the importance of one language. Hello, somebody. They have all one language, and this they begin to do. Everybody say, begin! God didn't let them finish it all. Didn't let them finish it. But God is going to let us finish our own. You know why? Their own was out of the will of God. But our own is in the will of God. So this one that we have begun to do, we finish. I'm not talking to anybody here. This they begin to do. And now, nothing. Touch your neighbor again. Say, who said? God. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have what? To do. The devil didn't say this. It was God who said it. I just got a text from heaven. You say, you know, son, why I said that? They were created in the image and the likeness of God. And they had tapped into a divine principle. If they continued like that, they would do it. Because man has the same innate divine capacity that God has. Even in his fallen state. He said, that's why I told them. He said, we agree. He said, there is nothing. If they are one, they have one language, they have one purpose. He said, there is nothing that they will be restrained from doing that they can even imagine. If they can think it, they'll make it a reality. When there's unity, that is the power of unity. It is a sad commentary. It is a tragedy that the body of Christ has never taken advantage of it to any appreciable degree. And it's one of the things that is, you, let me use the word, delaying the manifestation. Hence this message. Unity. Unity. The unity, particularly the unity of the Spirit. The unity of knowledge is a natural consequence of the unity of the Spirit. The real problem is unity of the Spirit. Now, am I helping anybody here? Good. This same truth is depicted graphically in Psalm 133. Let's turn there. Psalm 133. It says, how good and how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Please, I want to keep emphasizing this unity is in the Spirit. It, you know, we can have the same, put the same thing on our door, you know, put it on our car, you know. We can even be together, we can talk, and there may be no unity in the Spirit. In fact, it is sad, but it is true that so many times, and we're going to see how to do in a minute, you know, the unity of spirit is hindered by foolish things that are of no consequence. But Satan will bring them and start, you know, fussing about things that are of and hide and obscure the greater purpose. So we must learn to see the bigger picture and not to focus on the little individual problem that you are having. What God is doing is far more important than what you are feeling. Did you hear me? I said what God is doing is far bigger than what you are feeling. Put your feelings aside by the Spirit so that the will of God can be done. That's exactly what Christ did in Gethsemane. He didn't feel like going to the cross. He put his feeling aside so that the will of God will be done. Hello? Hello? You know, that night was one of the... there were so many lessons to learn that night. One just came to me because it's in light of this unity of the Spirit. Do you know what happened that night? I'm talking about what we call the Last Supper. This was Thursday evening. He was crucified on Friday. Friday was the day of the Passover lamb. But, you know, God allowed them to do it on Thursday for Jesus, because to fulfill the purpose and the destiny, you know. And so that night, Jesus, you know, after they've eaten and everything, he began to say, look, one of you is going to betray me. What is that fussing? Oh, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And arguing and everything. So the Lord Jesus, you know, you remember what he did. He washed their feet and all of that, you know. And he said, truly, one of you will betray me. You know, then they found out, you know, it was Judas and all of that. He didn't tell them. The unity of the Spirit. He just didn't reveal to any of them it was Judas, except for John. You know, he said, it's the person I'm going to give the sop to. Most of the other guys didn't even know what Judas went out to do. Jesus knew, but watch this. He did not allow that situation to spoil the atmosphere of what God was doing. Because you can imagine what the other boys would have done. Some of them would have run after Judas. Right there and then. Not only that, you know, the Lord Jesus, now, you know, they said, oh, he said, you will be offended because of me tonight. Everybody went up in arms. Peter first said, me? Let me say to Yoruba, lie. I can never, even though all be offended, I will not be offended. He said, I will even lay down my life for you. Jesus said, He said, before the cock crows three, you will have denied me three times. Peter didn't believe. Notice, it wasn't only Peter who said it to all the others. After Peter spoke, you know, everybody wants to be, you know, Peter is always the one who talks first. And all the other guys too want to prove that they are spiritual as Peter. So all of them, James and John and Andrew and Philip, everyone said, nah, me too, we too. You know what Jesus did? He just stopped that conversation. He didn't say you can or you will not. He had said this was going to happen. He stopped. No argument. Okay, we shall see. Just left it. Because it was crucial at that time for there to be some degree of harmony. For the destiny making hours that were ahead. Nothing could be allowed to hinder what was coming. The Lord was smart enough spiritually to see that. So he just, you know what they did? He prayed and they sang a hymn. How many people remember? That's how they ended that meeting. He just, okay, let's pray. Oh, yeah. Prayed. Then they sang. Then they went to Mount of Olives. No more argument about who will deny, who will not deny. We'll soon see. You know. Then when he got to the Mount of Olives, what did they do? He separated Peter, James, and John from the other eight. Took them a stone's throw. Then he separated himself from those three and he went a little distance where he could pray in peace. Then he said, watch and pray. Of course, they slept. When he came back, he said, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? But he didn't fight with them. He didn't quarrel. He didn't. What was up in front was too delicate for forcing and fighting and argument. He just left it. He went and went to pray. Came back, they were still sleeping. Enough to let you lose your temper. At one time like this, you guys are asleep. Just left it. Third time, came back. Okay, it's all right. Oh yeah, Jekamalo. Because what he wanted to achieve had been achieved in the spirit realm. And he had, by praying, he had provided covering for all their mistakes. So by the time the soldiers came to arrest him, and Peter, with his temper and everything, because he hadn't prayed, you see. He hadn't prayed. So there was no power to overcome all the emotion. The guy just brought out a sword and wanted to cut. He didn't want to cut the air. He wanted to cut the head. I preached that by revelation many years ago. It was an angel that deflected the sword. So it only cut the air. Had Jesus not prayed, the guy's head would have come off. He cut the air. And instantly, Jesus took the cut air and patched it back. By the power of the Spirit, instantly. And those boys backed down. Because had that boy's head gone off, the next head off would have been Peter's. Then Andrew. Andrew, sorry. Heads would have just started to roll. They came fully armed. But the Lord Jesus managed that situation. By the force of spiritual arms, through unity of the Spirit. They irritated him, but he didn't let it get to him. Imagine Jesus too had gotten angry and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Why? In the bond of peace. We're going to close soon. Matthew chapter 8. Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Where are we? Thank you, Jesus. I say all that to say that this unity is in the Spirit. How good and pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in you? It is. He is telling you what the unity of the Spirit is. Not what you think it is, not what you philosophize it is. He's telling you what it is. Like the precious, it's not the precious one. It is like. He's talking about an anointing. He's talking about a spiritual substance that is flowing. It is like, I didn't hear you, the precious ointment upon the what? Head that ran down upon the, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. So the Holy Spirit gives us a picture using natural things, using the ointment of the high priest, of what is going on in the spiritual realm. In the spirit, what happens is that the same life and power of God that is coming from God through the leadership will be able to flow down to the rest of the body unhindered. That's what unity of the Spirit is. This is not speculation. This is exactly what the scripture says. I explained it to you from Ephesians, you know, but this gives us a very graphic and clear picture of what the unity of the Spirit is. It is like, so the ointment, the anointing that is on the head. Now we know the head is Jesus, but also the head also speaks of the leadership of the church. For example, Paul was the leader of the church in Corinth. The anointing that was on Paul flowed down through the Spirit when they are gathered together, and my Spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the same picture. Now, what hinders unity of the Spirit? And secondly, how can it be overcome? To understand this, we're going to look at two major scriptures. I'm going to mention some other scriptures, but because of time, we don't have to turn to everything. And I want to encourage you to download this message, listen to it over and over and over again. Put it in your car, put it in the kitchen, put it on your iPhone, you know, put it on your computer, put it on your iPad. Keep playing it back, keep playing it back, keep playing it back, keep playing it back until you get it. Trust me, you don't get it the first time you hear it. Hello, somebody. Amen. Instead of listening to all this funny secular music and everything, listen to the word so that the thing gets into your heart. I've discovered something about the word of God. You have to stay. It's just like anything else, mathematics or physics or anything, you know, but this is spiritual. Those ones are physical. But have you noticed that before something, if you want to memorize something, before something enters your heart, you have to read it over and over and over. How many people know that? You can't just look at something once, you know, and get it. You look at it the first time, you get a superficial thing. You read it the second time, you get a deeper understanding. By the time you read it the third, fourth time, it's staying inside your heart. Spiritually, it's the same thing. That's why the Bible says these books are not depart from your mouth. You just keep saying it and saying it and saying it, and it registers. Now, Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to look at verses 15 through 22. And you know, when I was preparing this message earlier on this morning, God got me very up very early, about 3 a.m. or something like that. And I began to pray to seek his face. He had already started building this up in me, but it wasn't fully fleshed out. So it was this morning that a lot of parts came together that I hadn't yet, you know, I hadn't yet got together. And those verses I told you, my wife has been emphasizing recent time, if two of you shall agree as touching anything, you will see, you know, that it is sandwiched. They're in verses 19 and 20. But you will see it is sandwiched between forgiveness and love. See, there can be no agreement in the spirit when there's unforgiveness and strife. It will hinder it. It will block the flow. Now let's read the whole thing, not everything, but you know, we're going to read from verses 15 through 22, and I'll explain to you why I'm stopping verse 22. From 23 on, it tells you, you know, to forgive your brother, or else, you know, you'll be given to tormentors, all of that. But the point I'm making now, which I want to emphasize, is unity of spirit. Say, moreover, I didn't hear you. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults between thee and Radio OIO. Hello? Go and tell the whole world. Go and tell everybody. Everybody, you mean, do you know what this brother did to me? Do you know what this one did? Do you know what they said? Him alone. Why? What's God? What is God? What is in God's? What's the spirit behind this? God wants any crisis to be managed with as few people as possible, so that the thing does not spread and start disturbing the unity of the body. If you see somebody do something or sin or something, my wife and I, by the grace and the mercy of God, over the years, we've learned it. You know, many times my wife will know things about people, she won't tell me. She may have called somebody, spoken to them. She won't tell me. Especially once the thing has been solved. Why tell me? She said, honey, I don't just want to poison your mind. That's the right spirit. Sometimes if it's necessary, she would tell me, you know, and then, you know, and we talk about it together. But many times, especially if it's something she can handle, you know, she handles it. And say, well, yeah, I've dealt with this and it's okay. It may be many months later, she'll say, Mukote, it's awful, you know, that, in our language, that means, I just didn't tell you, but this happened, you know, because I didn't want you to be burdened with that. It's wisdom. Sometimes you have to tell, but even when you tell, you know, you tell with, you know, to responsible people for the purpose of resolution, not for the purpose of gossip. Not for the purpose of destroying the person's reputation forever. Between him and thee alone. If. Because we're free moral agents. You can see why unity of the spirit is not easy. And you can see why God has to get a sample. Why he has to sample. Some will hear, some won't hear. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. If he will not hear, take with thee 50 or 100 extra people. I didn't hear you. I think that's the way we read our Bibles. Amen. If he doesn't hear you, hello? Hello? Get on the internet and send it viral. Tell the next 1 million people like the politicians. You know, send their picture all over the internet. Hello? Because there's some things we as Christians, you know, when you see the world doing things, you're not like them. You should not be like them. Even when something is bad, and even if it's true, you know, of what benefit? Why will he edify those people? How can he help them? Best to just keep your mouth shut and pray. And spreading bad news all over the whole place. Take with thee one or two more. Am I talking to anybody? It's rather quiet in the house. Am I stepping on any toes here? Hello, somebody. Amen. Take with thee one or two more. Notice how God is reducing the number. Not in the mouth. Of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If he neglect to hear them, I didn't hear you, tell it to the church. See how God, maybe two or three people will be able to talk and say, if he doesn't tell them, and that church doesn't just mean you come to the whole church and tell them, it's not a leadership. Guys who can handle it, guys who will handle it with maturity and handle it with love and with wisdom. Not necessarily, the church here doesn't mean the universal church. It does not mean the church in Ibadan. It does not even mean the whole of Scripture Pasture. It just means a representative number of the church, especially the leadership. He said, but if you neglect to hear the church, I didn't hear you, let him be unto thee as a heathen man. Now, notice Jesus was talking to Jews. So let him be like a Gentile or a publican. In other words, don't fuss and fight with him. Just bypass him in the flow. Do you hear me? He has shown he does not want to be a part of the sample. So bypass him in the flow. A heathen is not in the body. A publican is not in the body. They can't have the flow. So a Christian who is unrepentant and retains the block, do you understand? Even though you've tried to reconcile with him, what he's saying is that bypass, let the flow bypass him. The flow will not bypass you in Jesus' name. But that's your choice of your attitude. We're not done. Verily, notice this Bible was not written in chapter and verse. Jesus was talking. It was a continuous discourse. So the Spirit, he started with forgiveness. And if your brother offended, it is in that light. He now says, verily, am I talking to anybody here? I say unto you, you know, Jesus is verily, but not often. When he wants to say something very important, he will say verily or verily, verily. When he begins to say verily, you know, verily just means truly, and you know he's the truth. So it's a double emphasis. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, when there is forgiveness and harmony, when you bind, it will be bound. When you loose, it will be loosed. Contrarywise, when there is no forgiveness and harmony, you can bind until you are blue in the face, nothing will be bound. That's why the binding and the loosing of many people are not working. It cannot work in an unforgiving heart. It cannot work where there's a hinder of the flow of life and power. But he's not done yet. And again, see, in the same breath, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together, it's in the Spirit now, in my name. Mommy Sarah brought this out beautifully not too long ago. The name there is not Jesus alone. I know his name is Jesus. Don't care. He's talking about his character. They are gathered together. There is a unity of the character of God. Loving kindness. Justice. Right standing. Right doing. Love. Righteousness and justice. Summarize the character of God. He says, where two or three, when they are bound together in the unity of the Spirit, in my character, there is nothing those people will agree on that won't come to pass. So it's more than just having two Christians just meet and just say, let's agree. If the agreement is not in the heart, if it is not in the Spirit, if there isn't a background of forgiveness, the flow of life, you know, and without anything hindering it, that unity will not be as effective as it should be. You can understand now why a lot of prayers of agreement are not working. This is true even with husband and wife. And that's why my wife and I, we have a policy. We have our issues sometimes, but we will resolve it. We will forgive each other. We will confess our sins. We will pray together after resolving the heart issue so that there can be a flow. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. neither give place to the devil. See the two scriptures. They are tied with a very short rope. Let's paraphrase so that we get the spirit of the scripture. If you let the Son go down on your wrath, you've just given place to the devil. I didn't hear amen. People don't like this message. I'm going to repeat it. They said, don't preach that to us. Don't hear. If you let the Son, how many people let the Son go down on their wrath? In the last few days. Okay, don't wave. I need to do simple. Hello, somebody. People are looking at me and say, Pastor, quickly finish this message. Yeah, so crazy. Am I embarrass me? The Holy Ghost is out to embarrass you. Hello, somebody. If you keep wrath for long, you know what you just did? Gave place to the devil. You just opened the door and said, devil, enter. I didn't write the scripture. Stop looking at me funny. Amen. That's what you did. If you let wrath stay in your heart for an appreciable amount of time, you said some go down, but it's talking about hours. You don't deal with it and get it out. You just open the door and say, devil, enter. And do as it seemeth good unto thee. Oh no, Nigeria, she like a fish. You see, when I said in Yoruba, I've been talking a lot of grammar all this time, English. Koye won, but the most song Yoruba. See, that's why we have to have one language. Hello, somebody. Are you listening to me? Mm-mm. For prayer of agreement to work, the people have to be gathered in His name. In His character of love, in His character of right standing and right doing, in His character of justice, then whatever they ask will be done. But we're not done yet. Am I helping anybody here? I'm not hearing any hallelujah, I'm not hearing any shouting, I'm not hearing, there's no excitement in the house. Pastor G, it's only you and mommy who seem to be excited. Is it like, you're quite here, so hallelujah. How we call on Shanu? All right. Verse 21. Again, it's all continuous. Then after Peter had heard all Jesus had said. And he is being needled by the sons of thunder. That group of disciples or of apostles. This is a word of comfort. If they can make it, you will make it. Our boys, you know, one nilowo, one dimeru. In our language, that means I don't know how to say it in English. Because the English translation is not accurate. It just means that they had serious issues. That's not a translation. It's an interpretation, not a translation. One lower. It means that they have plenty in their hand. Then they carry a lot of. What do you mean? But every Yoruba human being knows what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. One ni lowo wa dimeru gbogbo won from Thomas to the sons of thunder to Peter the big mouth. You know why God is honest? He does these are ordinary people like you. And if Peter could become the same guy who preached on the day of Pentecost, there's hope for you. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me?
and I forgive him. Till seven times, our boy is here, what he did well with. I can imagine the sons of thunder, James and John, and all their rubbish and all that. Then Jesus preaches this message about forgiveness and binding and loosing and our prayer agreeing. He said, okay, anyway, okay, let me ask him. Let me ask him. At least I've been trying. Let's get it. He said, okay, oh, yeah, Lord, yes, okay, I agree with everything you have said, but I mean, there has to be a limit to this. For Lord, these sons of thunder and this Thomas the doubter, how many times I have to forgive him? Jesus gives the answer of the millennium. He says, I say not unto thee 7 times, but 70 times 7. In other words, there is no limit. You can now understand endeavoring. You can, it's when you understand that, you can now understand endeavoring. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Not once, not twice, not 7 times, not 70 times, the 70 times. As many times as is. All I am trying to do is the unity of the Spirit. I'm going to keep forgiving, keep praying, keep helping, so that the unity of the Spirit will be there, so our prayer will not be hindered. Hello, Ajo Yewa. Honey, you are saying something. Thank you. I'm going to add it right up. Bobby just got an extra revelation. It's 77 per person per day. I will repeat that. You know, Jesus said times, and that's the letter. Let me give you the Spirit. You understand? You know, it's 70 times 7 per person per day. Thank you. Pastor Larry just got a new revelation. His mercies are new every month. Isn't that what God does for you? Isn't it 70 times 7 for you per day? Only God knows how many things you do every day. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. If he should mark iniquity, who will stand? None of us. If he should mark iniquity, so why should you mark it? Be perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. He's 70 times 7 per person per day. Turn to your neighbor. Pastor said, now I want to say with my own mouth, say it is 70. So it is 70 times 7 per person per day. Then tell your neighbor, you haven't even started today. Am I helping anybody here? You can now understand endeavoring. Unity. Love. What is forgiveness? It's love. It's love. So you can see how the unity of the Spirit seamlessly flows into love. It's seamless. From unity of the Spirit, you just naturally graduate into love. You know why? What is love anyway? I've given my definition, not mine, but the one the Holy Spirit gave me in line with the Scripture. You know? Is discerning by wisdom, is desiring by compassion, and is doing by power what God would do. So in every situation, I got to close. Am I helping anybody here? Oh, Jesus, help me. Am I helping anybody here? Okay. He says, well, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, what we are essentially doing practically doing is we're enforcing the love of God by the blood, the word, and the spirit. The blood deals with the forgiveness of sin. 70 times 7 per person per day.
I didn't hear you.
Wisdom comes from the word. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You get the wisdom of how to behave in every situation through the word. And then you get the power to control your emotions, to do the things you should do by the power of the Holy Spirit. So by in keeping the unity of the Spirit, you naturally flow into walking in love. Let's say it another way. The consequence of keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace is to walk in love. And I got scripture. Look at Ephesians, and I believe it's going to be the last scripture. Though I'm allowed two or three more according to Paul. But Ephesians chapter 4, I'm not talking to anybody here. I said, am I talking to anybody here? Let's look at verse 15 and 16. I'm going to first of all look at it in King James. Then after that, I will look at it in the New International Version. And then after that, we'll look at it in the Message Bible. There's a reason for all the three translations as I was doing my studies. Now, look at this. But speaking, I didn't hear you. The truth in love may grow up. How many want to grow up spiritually here? Seriously. We want to grow up spiritually. Well, he just told you how. There's no shortcut about it. The way I'm going to grow up is speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Hello? He didn't say grow up into him in some things. Did he say grow up to him in some things? So grow up to him in anointing. Grow up to him in wisdom. Grow up into him in power. Grow up to him in prosperity. Grow up through him in light. May God have mercy on the church. Which is the head? Even Christ. This tells us, you know, without contradiction, that the purpose of God for the church is for every Christian to be exactly like Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Same thing. Same Paul wrote them. He wrote different ways of saying it. But it's the same truth. In all things, which is the head? Even Christ. Now, the next verse. Aha, this is, I show you the equivalence between endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the consequence of it is you will walk in love. Watch it. From whom? The whole body. Don't you never say, from whom? You say, from whom? Who is whom? Say, Christ.
Good.
From whom? The whole body. The whole body joined together and compacted by that which what? Every joint supplies. What is a joint? People in anatomy, our people in the health sciences, they tell you what's a joint. It is where two parts come together. That's what a joint is, isn't it? That's what a joint is. A joint, wherever you have one part, you have another part, wherever the connection point between two parts is what is called a joint. So it means that every Christian who is joined to another Christian, you, the two of you, should be supplying something to the body. That which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of some parts, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in. So when you endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the joints between my wife and I are members of the body, she prays for me, I pray for her.
She forgives me, I forgive her. I ask, I say, God, you know, cleanse, you know, I confess our sins and clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. And then both of us, we pray in the spirit. You know what we just did? That joint just supplied something to the body. That joint just supplied something into the body. Now imagine every single one of us doing that. In our different connections, that in the effectual work of measure of every part, each of us is supplying something. Each of us is giving forgiveness, cleaning with the blood. Each of us is giving life. Each of us is praying in the spirit, building up the body. You know what's going to happen? You're going to edify the body in love. Then the explosion will happen. The power. Everyone wants power, power, power. This is the key. Look at New International Version. We'll go close in a minute. New International Version. New International Version. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will, we will, we will, in all things, grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Verse 16. From Him, the whole body, watch this, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as what? Each part. Don't your neighbor say, I'm one of the parts. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. I'm going to forgive 70 times 7 per person per day. I will not get tired of using the blood, the word, and the spirit to forgive, to pray, to build a body. I will play my part. Last one, message. I like that one because it says it in a simpler way, but you know, very nice. God wants us to grow, to know the whole truth. I like this. And tell it in love. Like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. Next verse. This is lovely. He keeps us in step. He's talking about harmony with each other. Watch this. I like this. This is why I picked it. His very breath. What is the breath? Life. What did he do on the day of Pentecost? On the resurrection morning? He breathed into them. That's how they got born again. He says, and he breathed into them. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Watch this. The next thing out of his mouth. And whosoever sins, you remit. That's the next thing that came out of his mouth. And with that life, you have now become like God. So whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained unto them. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us, so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Unity, love, and power is the last frontier. That's why recently my wife and I, you know, God's been speaking to us about this. We even called the pastors. We had a talk. You know, it's the last. Satan knows it's just around the corner. So if he can get us in strife and fighting each other and not forgiving each other, we will hinder the delay. We will delay. It's the last frontier. The next thing ahead of us is the glory of God. Talk to God. Everybody, talk to God. Bowing down before your heart. God does not look the way man looks. Man looks on there, but God looks at the heart. Then the second hand up to God. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. This thing we're talking about is all spirit. Can't be done in the flesh. Raise that hand. Children, I want to say every child, your hand raised. I'm going to call you out and pray for you in a minute. But we'll all pray this prayer together first. That song says on bended knees. Not necessarily you have to bend your knee. It's talking about bending your heart. A humble heart. Then you pledge your love anew. And that's what I want us to do now. We're going to pray a short prayer to pledge our love. Love for who? First of all, love for God. Then love for our fellow man anew. We have a new standard. It's always been there, but it's fresh. We've known it before, but it's fresh now. 70 times 7 per person per day. That's what it's going to take to keep the unity of the Spirit. Say, but what if you don't agree? It doesn't matter. You keep doing the right thing. You're not God. You don't know the people. God knows their hearts. God can deal with them. Even if they don't agree, God knows how to bypass them. That's not your business. Your business is you love, you forgive, you endeavor to keep the. Make sure you are doing your part in the measure of every part. Now let's pray. Say, Father, I didn't hear you. I said, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking my right standing with God. In particular, unforgiveness and strife, pride, envy that has hindered me and hindered the flow of the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit through me to the rest of the body. Father, I thank you for this word that I have heard this afternoon. And I understand from the word that is going to take unity and love enforced by keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace that will lead to the manifestation of your power and your glory, which we are all waiting for now. The whole earth is waiting for this. Oh God, I will not be a hindrance. I will not be a hindrance. I'm going to be a supporting ligament. I want to lend support to this your plan. So Father, I come to you afresh, and I pledge my love anew to walk in love, to walk in forgiveness by the blood, the word, and the Spirit, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace with the people I interact with on a daily basis, forgiving as many times as necessary per person per day, so that there will be no breach, there will be no hindrance, there will be no block in the Spirit, that your life and power that is flowing from the Lord Jesus Christ through the leadership of the church, we flow down to every part of this sample of the body, of which I am pledging afresh I will cooperate to be a part of, to show forth your glory in this hour, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord. Okay, put one hand on your body. And hold the other hand to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed when Jesus was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago. He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. He carried my pains and they carried my sorrows. So they don't have any rights anymore in my body, and I will not permit them. And so I reject every sickness, every disease, every infirmity seeking to fasten itself and attach itself to my heart and to my body. I declare with my mouth that by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection life and power, I am healed now. I release healing power into my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my liver, my kidneys, my blood vessels, all my internal organs, into the DNA of every cell in my body to operate error-free, into my immune system, into my guts, into my probiotics, so that they will operate error-free. My immune system will function optimally in the name of Jesus. I say, I live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're healed. Now act like it, talk like it, think like it, and it will be. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed Satan is trying to attack. Don't let him. Give yourselves a clap offering. Hallelujah. Join hands with somebody. Let's share the grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. I said the Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, with long life, will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to me and say, you are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.